You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Wesley Ure from Land of the Lost. I played Will, and my entire performance on that show was, "Run, Holly, run! There's a dinosaur!"
Hi, this is Kathy Coleman.
Hi, this is Phil Paley. I played Chalk on Land of the Lost.
You're listening to The Flopcast.
Flopcast rocks!
Live from Chicken Town, this is The Flopcast, episode 436.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Gornflake.
We're back. Back from Dragon Con.
Back from Atlanta. The flight seemed especially quick this year. It felt like I was back in Massachusetts so fast as soon as Dragon Con was done. Like I just beamed here, just magically teleported right back to Chickentown Studios. How about you?
Yeah, well, I drank a lot. I don't remember.
It's all a blur, but that's fine. Yeah, I think we got some Dragon Con wrap-up talk. That's the plan. We haven't done enough Dragon Con shows so far, right? We're only on number five.
Five for the rest of us, but for our new listeners that found us during Dragon Con, hello.
I don't think anybody found us.
You don't think so? Okay.
That's what's coming up today. But first, of course, Cornflake, let's do National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Well, on September 19th, Kevin, I'll tumble for you. It's National Gymnastics Day.
Oh, I thought we were doing like a Culture Club Boy George birthday sort of a thing.
You wish it was Culture Club Day. It's Gymnastics Day.
National Gymnastics Day. Okay. Gymnastics is something I know very little about, although it did come up during one of my Dragon Con panels, so maybe we'll touch on it later. But you probably know more about gymnastics than I do.
I was big on at least trying to be involved with gymnastics as a kid. You might know this about me, Kevin, but I am a little bit of a klutz. You know, they call me Crash Cornflake. What I did enjoy quite a bit was in the late 80s and early 90s, back when I was reading like Sweet Valley High and Babysitter's Club books, there was
you and me both.
I was reading this series of books that came out in the late 80s and early 90s called The Gymnasts, and it followed a group of girls. They were part of the Evergreen Gymnastics Academy. I could not get enough of these books as a kid. I think 22 books came out in the series. It was by Elizabeth Levy.
So you were reading about gymnastics, that's which most people agree is the best way to experience gymnastics, I would think, right? The printed page.
Yeah.
You went the right way. It's a lot safer.
It was.
All right, here's everything I remember about gymnastics. This is a short list.
Okay.
I remember when the U.S., I'm going to say the 1984 men's gymnastics team showed up on different strokes.
Oh, that is cool.
So that was exciting. I remember being creeped out by gymnastics like a long time ago. Like I'd happen to catch it maybe on like ABC Wide World of Sports in the 70s and 80s or whatever. They'd show gymnastics sometimes. The other, they'd show the girls' gymnastics, and you'd see this like what appeared to be a 9-year-old girl, and it would turn out she was like 17.
Yeah.
You know, but she's 4'11". She weighs 61 pounds.
Tiny.
Then it's always weird when they're waiting to find out how they did after they compete, and they're always off to the side with their coach, who's like a 57-year-old bald dude with the salt and pepper mustache, and this little tiny girl is weeping and hugging, and it's, what's going on over there, you know?
That was the part that creeped you out.
That's what I think of when it comes to gymnastics. Thank you. So happy Gymnastics Day to us all. But I think, remind me if I forget, but we will bring up gymnastics in passing as part of Dragon Con.
Good plan.
So this, I believe, was the first time that you were able to attend Dragon Con, correct?
It was.
Because Dragon Con this year, everybody just stayed home. This was Dragon Con Goes Virtual, including Cornflake.
Yes.
Because you've never been able to make it down to Atlanta with the rest of us 80,000 geeks.
So Dragon Con came to me this year.
This year we all came to you.
Pretty handy.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we've been doing a bunch of special Flopcasts, obviously, as we built up to Dragon Con. So we wanted to say thanks to all our special guests. What a guest-intensive August we had around here.
Such a roster.
Yikes. So we wanted to say thanks to Jessica, of course, from Anaria, to Kate from the Strange Animals podcast, Christine and Daryl down there in Rhode Island, Dragon Con's Picard and Crusher, and of course, Brittany and Martha from right here on ESO over at But First Let's Talk Nerdy. Those were our special Dragon Con guests, and yikes, all four of those conversations were awfully fun. Glad they could drop by, fill in for Cornflake. You were kind of all tied up, very busy yourself all through August.
I was. I picked a bad time of year to be busy, but it was really great to hear all the guests that came and joined us.
Yeah, we brought in some pinch hitters to free up a little space for you.
Thank you.
so you could bail out early each week and go do whatever you needed to do.
Yes.
But then we all met up for actual virtual Dragon Con, so we can just talk our way through it. So I was quite busy with Dragon Con from like Thursday clear through Monday, Labor Day. I don't know how much of it you were around for. I know your time for Dragon Con was much more limited. So certainly jump in at any time that you were actually part of the festivities.
Okay.
And we'll just talk through what happened as we normally do. We do a Dragon Con show or two every year. I think we can do it in just one show this year.
Yes. As busy as you were with all of it, I would imagine that your plate had a few less things on it, given that you weren't actually in Atlanta.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was doing as much, almost as much as I normally would, as far as how many panels and presentations and stuff I was a part of. But then, of course, I was not doing all the other stuff besides that, the craziness of the rest of Dragon Con. So off we go. Yeah, we started Thursday night, just this past Thursday night, with the American Sci-Fi Classics track, which is the track I work with most of all every year down at Dragon Con. You know, these are our people, the crazy, goofy, nerdy, classic sci-fi people. We have to say, before I forget, just right off the top, I will say the American Sci-Fi Classics track directors, Joe and Gary, they were working at least as hard as usual this year, because Classics track, some tracks, I think, really scaled back how much they were doing for Dragon Con this year, which is fine, but understandable. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Classics track, we pretty much kept as busy as usual. They loaded up the weekend with a ton of programming, just the way they always do.
Yeah, they really made the most of this abnormal format and the amount of inclusion that you could foster with having everybody on a Zoom call together.
Yeah, and since it was all Zoom calls, just from a technical standpoint, they had to be there for every single thing. You know, you can't just duck out of the room or I'm going to let the moderator handle this one and we're going to go have dinner. Like, they had to be running the technical aspect the whole weekend. Very impressive. So great job, guys. As always, our friends Gary and Joe took care of us, of course. And the Classics track started off Thursday night with just a wild free-for-all of a panel called Shenanigans and Tales of Dragon Con. And this was no format. It was just all the Classics track regulars who were available Thursday. We just all got online together to just goof around and talk about whatever, looking back at, you know, crazy things that have happened in the past. And that was long. That ended up going like 2 hours.
Ooh, that's off to a roaring start.
That's a long panel.
That's a lot of time to sit down for.
Yes, yes. That was 2 hours. Super fun. And I got to play with my new green screen because I figured, you know, we're going virtual. I'm going to be online throughout Dragon Con. I finally got an actual green screen set up here in the studio. There's a giant green curtain behind me now here in the studio.
It's high time.
You know? Well, I thought we're going online. I'm going to have a nice background for all my panels. And so, green screen. The other thing that we tried out for the first time Thursday night was the pie.
So, did somebody send you pie or did
you? Oh, no. No one sent us pie. We've always relied on the pie generosity of others. Just to bring everybody up to speed, pie is a very, very potent adult beverage, which is, it's kind of the unofficial beverage of Dragon Con. People brew like apple pie, moonshine drinks. Friends of ours make gallons of it every year to bring down to the convention. And it's delicious, and it's dangerous, and it's scary, and you got to sip with caution, you know? It'll sneak up on you. Packs a punch. It's delicious.
So wait, you made pie?
Our friend Darren, the first time I ever had pie at Dragon Con, it was courtesy of our friend Darren. He's part of the ESO Network, one of the hosts of ESO's Dragon Con report. Several years ago, we had a big special ESO recording session at Dragon Con. Darren showed up with his pie. I said, oh, you know what? I've never actually had it. And he said, well, you're having it tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, this year I could not have any pie from Darren or from Mike and everybody else that normally hooks me up with pie, of course, very far away. Darren, however, hooked me up with his pie recipe.
You are making pie down in Chickentown? Now I'm really mad I'm stuck in quarantine.
So what you've missed with these virtual flopcasts? Yeah, Darren hooked us up with the recipe, and I made the pie carefully following Darren's recipe. And Thursday night, we broke out the pie, and this is all on Darren. I take zero credit for what happened because I just very carefully followed my instructions. But yeah, it was fantastic. So thanks, Darren, for virtually setting me up with apple pie once again this year. So that was Thursday night. It was shenanigans with the classics track. And pie.
Can you hear my jealousy through the Zoom call?
There's still a little bit left. There's a little bit left. We made a gallon.
Can you put some out on your doorstep?
I'll just put it in the mail. I'll pour it into a box and bring it to the post office.
No, it'll never get here. Send it by carrier pigeon.
It's going to burn right through your mailbox. It's very strong stuff. That was Thursday. Friday at Dragon Con. Now, Friday was my day with the other track that I usually work with. The other track I work with, not the classics track, but the American Science Fiction Fantasy Media track. They cover the new stuff on that track, while classics covers the old stuff, of course. But I love working with Kelly, who's the director of American Sci-Fi Fantasy Media. And Kelly put me to work on a couple of panels on Friday, which was great. Kelly was the first person to ever put me on a panel at all, at any convention anywhere. This all started with Kelly. It's all her fault.
That's where it all began.
You know, and here we are all these years later. I still love working on Kelly's track. So I did a couple for her on Friday. They were both season 2 review themed podcasts. The first one was Lost in Space season 2. This is not the old 60s series, but the new Netflix version of Lost in Space. Season 2. There is a season 3 on the way. We just don't know when. I think they were supposed to start filming this week.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that's happening.
Nope. So
at some point, we'll get some more Lost in Space. You'd think that they'd be safe because they're not on Earth.
No place is safe.
Just to be extra safe, even in whole other parts of the galaxy. We're not filming right now, but that was a fun panel that was moderated by Lindy, who does a great job. Nathan from the 42 cast here on ESO was on that panel with me, and my friend Michael from Creative Criticality. The other panel I did for American Sci-Fi Fantasy Media on Friday was Titans Season 2, as in the Teen Titans, you know, from DC Comics.
Yes.
Not the cartoon, mind you. You've probably seen the friendly, goofy kitty.
Teen Titans Go
cartoon. Yeah, this is a much darker adult version, but it's still quite good. I really like this show, and we're supposed to get more of Titans as well. But this was with Kelly, with the track director Kelly. She was on this panel. Wayland was there, who I've worked with before. Bethany, my dear friend Bethany, was on this panel with me. Gary Lindros as well, who I've done some stuff with over the years. Good guy. And, Sharon was there too. So we had a good group on this Titans panel. Oh, speaking of Titans, actually, coincidentally, our sister podcast, But First Let's Talk Nerdy, they are also covering Teen Titans this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, go over to episode 21 of But First Let's Talk Nerdy, and that was Brittany's subject this week was the Teen Titans, specifically the Judas Contract, a classic Teen Titans storyline from the 80s. So definitely check that out if you're a huge Titans nerd, as I am. Those were my panel assignments for Friday. I think Friday was the only time I had a chance to actually watch something that I was not on.
Oh, what'd you see?
Even though there's no reason to wander around, like, looking for people in costumes and taking pictures, which is normally what I do when I'm not on a panel. Not a lot of that happening this year for me, as I wandered around my house.
Did you run into any chickens in costume?
Not running into very many people or chickens in costumes this year, but I was still busy with other stuff, you know, like editing podcasts.
Oh.
Things like that.
You busy with editing podcasts? No way.
But Friday night, actually, I caught a panel on the classics track, which several friends of ours were involved in, and this was called Gordon's Alive. This was a Flash Gordon panel celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Flash Gordon movie.
Was there some good Ming the Merciless talk?
They were talking Ming and the Hawk people, you know, like your buddy Brian Blessed.
Yes.
Well, the whole panel was named after a Brian Blessed Hawk dude quote there. You know, Gordon's alive. That was something that he screams. But yeah, it was fun being able to just be an audience member watching it live and commenting, you know, because you could type in your comments on the screen as you watch the live panel. So I was doing that. And I was up pretty late after that. I was also trying to be nice and sleep deprived throughout the convention.
It wouldn't be Dragon Con otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I could have gotten a decent night's sleep every night. But that just felt wrong.
Right.
I was sleeping maybe 4 hours a night on average, which is still a little bit more than I normally get.
Well, I'm glad you decided to be at least a little bit generous to yourself.
But I was up very early Saturday morning. And, you know, one thing I've been doing the last couple of years down at Dragon Con is the Geek Girls run.
Yes, I wondered how that would be handled this year. So you got your Geek Girls run in?
Yeah, you know, it came up last week when we had Brittany and Martha here on the show. We did mention the Geek Girls Run. It's a bunch of geeks get together one morning during Dragon Con weekend. We all meet up outside the Marriott, and we do a quick run together around downtown Atlanta. And this year, the Geek Girls Run went virtual, just like the rest of the convention.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and so the idea was just run wherever you are, whenever you want, anytime during the weekend. It could be whatever time works for you and whatever distance you want. So it was just everybody go do whatever you want and just let us know that you did it. And so Saturday, that's what I did. Got out there. I threw on my Super Friends shirt, you know, with Wendy and Marvin and Wonder Dog.
Perfect.
And Aquaman and whatnot. Yes. Got my 10K in Saturday morning, which is way longer than the regular Geek Girls run, by the way.
That is longer than the Geek Girls run.
Yeah, I think that's quadrupling the normal Geek Girls run. And got back here in my studio in time for the Saturday morning sci-fi panel. And that was on the classics track. And that was Joe, track director Joe was there. Michael Bailey was there from the Fortress of Baileytude. Nathan from the 42 cast was there. James and Darren hanging around Saturday morning and just pretty much talking about Saturday morning stuff, Saturday morning cartoons and live action stuff, and specifically, or in particular, Saturday morning science fiction kind of shows. But we drifted into talking about whatever as well. A lot of Super Friends talk. And then, of course, you know, all our favorites, Thundar the Barbarian and Land of the Lost, all the Croft stuff. You know, my favorites when it comes to Saturday morning science fiction, I always go back to the Filmation live stuff, Arc 2 and Jason of Star Command and Space Academy. But that was our Saturday morning sci-fi panel. Not long after Saturday morning's sci-fi panel, I had to stick right with the classics track because we did another fun one after that. It was the theme was superheroes after Batman 89.
Oh, yeah. I saw that you were doing this.
Yeah. And that is the concept was, you know, the 1989, you know, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Tim Burton Batman movie, of course, was such a massive, massive hit movie that we got a wave of comic book hero-themed movies right after that. So this panel was kind of looking at those movies that came out through the early to mid-90s in the wake of Batman 89, and TV as well, because we covered the Flash TV series of 1990, which was very, very clearly inspired by Batman 89. They even got Danny Elfman to do the music for The Flash, so it sounded just like Batman. And Dick Tracy did that as well. The Dick Tracy movie that came out in 1990, they got Danny Elfman to do the music. So we covered Dick Tracy, which was, you know, the Warren Beatty movie, Dick Tracy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, which I had not seen in 30 years. Most of these movies I really had not seen since the 90s, but I spent the week leading up to Dragon Con. I rewatched Dick Tracy and The Phantom, The Shadow, and The Rocketeer, all that stuff. A lot of the stuff that came out, you know, a lot of this post-Batman stuff was not great, but these are fun movies. I really enjoyed all of them. Yes. And this panel, we had Joe and Gary, of course. Sean was there, who's another regular around the classics track. Scott and Debbie were both there. Scott and Debbie Vigay from Dr. Geek's Lab here on the ESO Network. They were there. Michael Bailey was there once again, of course. Keith DeCandido was there. And somebody I did not know before, but we're buddies now. A lady named Denise was there, and she was very cool. She actually suited up for this panel, Cornflake. Denise is a huge fan of the Shadow movie from the 1990s. This was the Alec Baldwin Shadow movie, and Denise actually was in costume as the Shadow for this panel.
Oh, that is neat.
That's impressive. I was happy to see people, you know, suiting up from their homes to be in costume for Dragon Con. Meanwhile, when we were talking about The Shadow, I was just waiting to mention the song from The Shadow, because when you get to the closing credits, what you get is a song called Original Sin, which was made specifically for the movie, written by Jim Steinman. That's the guy who wrote all those Meatloaf songs.
And Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, Bonnie Tyler, yes. Total Eclipse of the Heart, Holding Out for a Hero, Making Love Out of Nothing at All for Air Supply, all those amazing Jim Steinman songs. He made another one called Original Sin for The Shadow, and there was a music video out for it at the time. But this was sung by Taylor Dane.
Oh, nice.
It's Taylor Dane, and it wasn't a huge hit, so this is, it's kind of, you know, not very well remembered, but look it up, everybody. It's good. It's Taylor Dane, who we love, of course, and yikes, nobody can sing like Taylor Dane. Taylor Dane singing Jim Steinman.
Very true.
That's killer. So I was just waiting. I was waiting to get a word in to mention the Taylor Dane song. And, you know, speaking up on these panels is tricky, even trickier than a regular panel, because you know how it is being on a Zoom call. You know, it's hard not to, you don't want to interrupt anybody, but it's also hard not to. So I was trying to pick my spot to mention Taylor Dane, and it turned out there were like three of us on the call that were all trying to get in a word about Taylor Dane. So we got in our plug for Taylor singing Original Sin. So anyway, fun panel about all those post-Batman superheroes of the 90s. The other thing we did Saturday evening to make it a little more like being at Dragon Con was we got our friend Kate on the phone. Kate, who was on the Flopcast a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, ice worms galore.
Yes, Kate, who taught us. I'm still not sure if I should thank her or blame her that I know this now, but Kate taught us on her podcast that there are worms that live in the ice.
Ice worms forever.
That just creeps me out.
I love it.
But yeah, I was texting with Kate Saturday, and then I thought, you know what? We could actually have a conversation. And not for a podcast. Let's actually just hang out and talk.
Gotta love that.
So we did that. The mayor and I got Kate on the phone, and we were hanging out with her for a while. That was really nice. And since she helps me identify birds, you know, from our bird feeder, we actually had Kate live on the phone and I was reporting on what birds were outside.
Oh, fun.
Our bald cardinal came back again. We've got that weird cardinal that's molting, so its head is bald, so it looks ridiculous.
Oh, I have never seen that before.
Yeah, it looks so stupid, but this one comes around like almost every day, and I'm surprised it hasn't just died of embarrassment yet. I think it knew somehow that Kate from the Strange Animals podcast was on the phone, because it thought, hey, I'm a strange animal.
Here I am.
Came flying right into the scene. Hello.
I may not be an ice worm.
And I talked to a bunch more friends after that, actually, because my friend Maria, the joke among us is that Maria spends her entire Dragon Con in the bar at the Hilton. She kind of holds court. She holds down the table and everybody else knows where to congregate. So Maria announced that she was setting up a virtual Hilton bar hangout. So that's what I did Friday night was, hey, there's Maria and there's a whole bunch of other friends of ours. Bunch of people from the science track at Dragon Con, bunch of my science nerd friends, great to see those folks anyway, of course. And I actually had to drop off that call because I was due back at the Classics track for what was supposed to be a movie. We were going to have like a watch party and all watch a movie together. And that was going to be To Riverdale and Back Again, which was an Archie TV movie from 1990.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the Classics track recently, actually, one of our quarantine panels earlier in the summer. But we thought, let's just all watch that ridiculous Archie movie together. However, there were technical issues, and so we did not have the watch party. But we had a plan B, or I should say Joe and Gary had a plan B, because what we did instead was an impromptu surprise round of live Rolla panel.
Yes.
Rolla panel, they have a giant D20, like a basketball-sized 20-sided die. They roll the die. Whatever comes up corresponds to some subject, and then we have an impromptu 5-minute panel on that subject. Then we roll again. That's Sci-Fi Classics track Rolla panel. Joe announced it through social media to all the Sci-Fi Classics track fans, not just the regular panelists, but Joe just threw this open to everybody.
This is like the best backup plan in the whole world.
You know, he was like, anybody, if you're around, you're awake, want to play Rolla panel? Come on in. Because we had a couple dozen people on this call.
Imagine trying to fit all of those people on stage together.
Yeah, we've come close to that, I think, in the past. And the subject was the movies of 1985. So every single spot on the die corresponded to some movie from 1985. So you were able to check this one out?
Yes, I heard some Rocky IV and Thunderdome talk.
Yeah, it was Rocky IV, and the Goonies were in there.
Oh, people got so excited about the Goonies coming up.
Oh, that was a big one. Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Enemy Mine was up there. The Last Dragon I was most excited about.
Yeah, I saw you get really pumped about The Last Dragon.
Well, that was like a Rolla panel miracle, because Joe kind of assigned that one to me. He was like, okay, Kevin, you're going to start us on the next roll. And then he threw the die, and in my mind, like, I knew The Last Dragon was on that die. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if when it's my turn, The Last Dragon comes up? And yes, Cornflake, that's exactly what happened. I got The Last Dragon.
It was a Dragon Con miracle.
Yeah, I was thrilled because I'm always up to discuss The Last Dragon with Timok and Vanity. Remember Vanity?
Yeah.
Vanity is one of the stars of it. And then it features El Dabar singing Rhythm of the Night.
Which means it's pretty much tailor-made for you.
That is a bizarre, goofy little movie, which I remember seeing in a theater in 1985 in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
I love that you told people about Woonsocket.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned Woonsocket. Yes. I made sure I mentioned exactly where I saw The Last Dragon. That was Woonsocket. And yeah, a bunch of friends of the Flopcast ended up popping in for that panel as well, including Christine was there. Christine, who you heard here on the Flopcast, one of our special guests a couple of weeks ago, she was there. And our friend Kevin Cafferty, you know, from Aresia.
Yeah.
He was on the call as well. So what a fun group that just showed up with zero forewarning. They just happened to be there at the right time to pop in and join us.
Well, the Rolla panel, you just like can't stay away.
It's always fun and crazy. And anyway, Sunday, my first panel Sunday afternoon was back on the Classics track. And this was Stories That Served Man, A Visit to the Twilight Zone.
This is not something I know a whole lot about. And I didn't get to see this panel. So I'm excited to hear how this went.
You haven't seen much of the old Twilight Zone from the 60s, right?
Yeah, that was never really my thing.
Yeah, that's not really a Cornflake kind of show. But it was a little creepy, a little dark and scary at times. Not all of it. It had its lighter, sillier moments. But yeah, people think of the Twilight Zone and you think of creepy, scary stuff. But it was great. Super classic show. We love it. We had Joe and Gary there, of course, our Classics Track directors. We had Darren was there again. Sue. Oh, man, my friend Sue from the Women at Warp Star Trek podcast. James Palmer was there once again. And Michael Williams, another author who works a lot with the Classics Track. So we had a group of Twilight Zone super fans there. And Joe had put out a survey just asking everybody who followed the Classics Track to vote for what they considered the best episodes of the Twilight Zone and made a list of the top 8 episodes based on the votes. Then we turned that into a tournament.
Oh, a famous Dragon Con tournament?
Yes, this was like not quite as crazy as Dragon Con Classics Track Sci-Fighters.
So this wasn't Monkeys versus Minions level.
This was not Monkeys versus Minions. This was not Sarah McLachlan didn't somehow break into the Nicolas Cage tournament like last year. Yeah, Joe set up like a bracket tournament thing with those 8 episodes in it. And we just debated each pairing of episodes and eventually worked our way down to the final 2, and then ultimately decided what was the greatest Twilight Zone episode ever. And you can imagine, because they made like 150-something episodes of the original Twilight Zone, and they're not all great, but most of them are. the batting average on that show was insane. There are dozens and dozens of episodes, literally, that you could legitimately consider classics. And so to narrow it down to 8 is crazy to begin with. And then to pare that down to 1 winner is, you know, rip your heart out kind of decision making. You know?
So were people satisfied with the results?
I think we did it, Cornflake. I think the results were solid. It wasn't easy, but we did it. And I'm inclined to not reveal what happened because
you can go back and watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, we can direct you. We will have links with this episode. You can go watch this and see what happened. See if you agreed with what we came up with. And I mean, just to give you an example of how many classic Twilight Zones there are, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, you know, that's the one with William Shatner is on the airplane, you know, and there's a monster out on the wing that nobody can see but him.
Yeah.
Super classic episode. Didn't even get mentioned.
Wow.
That's how stiff the competition was. So anyway, definitely check that out, everybody. By the way, I put up a Twilight Zone background on my green screen for the panel.
Yeah.
And I suited up for this panel, Cornflake. I guess you could call this technically Dragon Con costuming, although this was very, very easy as costumes go. But I did throw on a jacket and a tie, thus creating an impromptu Rod Serling costume.
Whoa.
So I was Rod Serling for the Twilight Zone panel.
That is a nice touch.
It was not a perfect Rod Serling costume because no cigarette, needless to say.
I think you can be forgiven for that.
It was rare that you saw Rod Serling without a cigarette in his hand.
Right.
Yes. He's like, I'm hosting and narrating the Twilight Zone, but I'm not going to put my stupid cigarette down. So hello, America.
I'm going to keep smoking.
Here I am in a cloud of smoke. Bad idea, jeans. I'm Rod Serling. Okay, that was Twilight Zone. That was fun. What happened after that? Let's see. Oh, I was on a panel, I think, like right after that. But at the same time, I could relax and get back to my Chinese food from the day before. Because up next was a panel that we had recorded in advance. One of the few panels I did that was done in advance, not live. But this was not just a Sci-Fi Classics Track panel. This was also an ESO panel. Because this was the ESO Network presents 25 years of acting out, celebrating 12 monkeys.
I don't know what this is.
You probably didn't see 12 monkeys. Again, not a cornflake kind of movie. But it's celebrating its 25th anniversary, because this would have been 1995. The movie 12 Monkeys was from Terry Gilliam.
From Monty Python, yeah.
And this was, it's kind of dark and weird, so not a wacky, silly adventure like Time Bandits. This is one of his darker movies. It's a creepy, bleak future, and Bruce Willis is a time traveler from the future who must travel back in time to the 90s, and Brad Pitt is there in the 90s as a mental patient, and there's all this complicated time travel stuff. Really dark, really weird, but really good. Like, I had not seen this movie since the 90s until I went back and rewatched it for this panel. And I forgot how good this is. Like, it's solid. 12 Monkeys. And we had Mike and Mike, of course. Mike's Faber and Gordon from Earth Station 1 were there. And a guy named Keith, who I don't think I've worked with before, but he was terrific too. And Ashley was there. And Ashley, you hear all the time on Earth Station 1, part of their regular movie reviewing team. And I always love working with Ashley. So that was our group from ESO, taking over the classics track for an hour to talk about 12 Monkeys.
Very nice.
If it were up to me, we would have just talked about the Monkees, the band.
Yeah, you would have been talking about 4 Monkees had it been up to you.
Yeah, we could have talked about them 3 times and the math would have checked out, you know. I did another goofy classics track thing later that night, and that was, and they did this was the second time they've done this, I believe, on the classics track, because classics track, we should say, they've been doing online convention style panels all throughout the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Way back in the spring, Gary and Joe started hosting live online classics track panels, and I've done a few of them, and we've mentioned them on the show, but a few weeks ago they did this, and then we did it again. Classic sci-fi novelization reading. Literally, we were reading from novelizations. It's kind of a lost art, I think, the novelization. But back in the day, certainly back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, a movie would come out, and then there'd always be a novel based on the movie, the novelization.
Yes.
And so those of us nerds that wanted to experience the movie after seeing the movie, we'd get the book.
Great.
I remember doing this when I was a kid with E.T.
Ah.
I loved the movie E.T. so much that I remember ordering through my school book club. I ordered E.T. the novelization version and loved it. But novelizations are weird because it would have to come out along with the movie.
Right.
You know, they would want the book to be in stores as the movie came out. And so some poor author would have to frantically write. Like, they couldn't see the movie and then write the book. So novelizations were based on scripts, which is interesting because sometimes the movie would change.
And you still have the scripted version, right?
Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's some guy banging out a book based on this script. So there are whole scenes and things that are totally different in the novelizations. And sometimes it's because the author took some liberties and changed things or made things up to flesh out the book. Sometimes it's because, oh no, this was in the script, but by the time the movie came out, it wasn't. And so if you compare and contrast between movies and novelizations, you can find some fun, weird differences sometimes. Anyway, because they're completely goofy over on the classics track, we thought, what if we just had people doing some dramatic readings from novelizations?
Oh.
And that's a panel.
That must have been fun.
So this was me. It was Joe. It was James. Once again, James read from The Last Starfighter, the novelization. That's actually a movie that we did a Patreon episode of the Flopcast.
Extra episode.
Based on a while back. Yeah. Michael Williams was there again. Chris was there. Oh, my friend Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion. He does these video shows called Sci-Fi Explosion. He's been working with the classics track now the last couple of years. He read an excerpt from the novelization of Gremlins.
Oh, that must have been gold.
It was fascinating because in the Gremlins movies, they don't really go into the history, the backstory of the Gremlins. Like, why do these things exist? Where do they come from? Where do they start? In the novelization, they go into that.
You get some story on.
Yeah, and so Chris was actually reading a passage about the origins of these freaky gremlin creatures. So that was interesting. A lady named Ellie was on the call, and she was reading from a novelization of a TV series. Not a movie, but a TV series, Sequest. Keith R.A. DeCandido was here, and this was a very appropriate guy to have on the novelization panel because Keith is a professional author, and Keith has actually written novelizations professionally.
Oh, he himself has done this.
Yes, he's written a lot of actual novelizations. He held up a stack of them on camera. I know he wrote a few based on Firefly and Serenity, you know, the Firefly TV series and the movie that came out afterwards, Serenity. He wrote Serenity novelizations, and that's just one example. He wrote a ton beyond that. So he had a lot of insight on what it's actually like, you know, to be a writer of these odd novelizations. So he was great. Meanwhile, I thought, what's the goofiest thing I could do for the novelizations panel? I went to my big stack of novelizations. I did have a bunch to choose from. It was hard to decide, but I went with, there's a movie, a science fiction movie from the 80s that had a scene which was filmed and then cut out. So it's not in the movie. It is in the novelization. It's from Tron.
Tron.
Tron. You know, with little personified computer programs running around in a video game world. Tron. Deleted scene. And this is with Bruce Boxleitner and Cindy Morgan, you know, and Cornflake. It's a sex scene.
Magnificent.
I read the Tron sex scene for a Dragon Con panel.
Classy. Love it.
I kept it classy, as usual. Yes. Yes. I did what I had to do. I was trying to win the novelization panel. I did what I had to do.
Did it give you that edge that you were hoping for?
I think I did it. I think it worked. So kids, you want to see me read the Tron sex scene? You can. It's online. It's all online. It's been captured forever. That was the novelization panel. That was fun.
I'll betcha.
That wrapped up my Dragon Con responsibilities for Sunday night, although needless to say, stayed up really late. I Turksted with Brittany and Martha a little bit. That was the day our Flopcast episode with the girls came out from But First Let's Talk Nerdy. And we had a virtual round, because normally Sunday night I'd be hanging out with them in Atlanta, you know?
Yeah.
We had a virtual round Sunday night.
Very cool.
Yeah, in Turkst format. Monday morning, I got my 4 hours of sleep, of course, then got up Monday morning and I thought, you know, I did the Geek Girls Run already, but I'm up early enough. I thought I'd go out and do a Geek Girls Run round two.
Oh, bonus edition.
And I thought, let's get even crazier this time. So I went out. I had a panel Monday morning, but I thought I've got just enough time before this panel. I'm going to do a half marathon.
Wow.
I don't know what got into me. I thought, you know, this Dragon Con hasn't been stupid enough yet. I'm going to work a half marathon into my weekend. I got my 13 point whatever miles in, ran back into the studio, recombobulated, got in front of the green screen because we had one more panel to do. And this one had my name on it.
Yeah, it sure did. You had to be there for that one.
It's a Monday morning tradition. Every Monday, we do a stupid early Monday morning panel on the Classics track. And it's always Joe and Michael and me and whoever else is crazy enough to show up. This was Michael and Kevin's happy early fun time hour or something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was 10 a.m. Monday morning, which is early to be at a convention panel. But this was actually later than usual for us. This felt strangely deep into the morning as these Monday morning panels go. Yeah, normally this is 8:30 a.m.
Well, I was really glad that it was at 10 o'clock in the morning because I got into the punch-flavored vodka the night before. So
no. I should have Turksted you into the virtual round that I was having with Brittany and Martha the night before.
I must have sensed something in the ether, Kevin.
Because yeah.
I was happy for having a little bit of recovery time first thing in the morning, and I got myself into the panel just in time.
Is that why I didn't see you at the half marathon?
That is 100% the reason why. Oh, also, I don't run.
Our typical starting time is 8:30 a.m. Monday, because we like to really, you know, thin the herd, weed out the weak. But 10 a.m. was still early enough. But yeah, a bunch of people did show up. We had our faithful Monday morning crowd was there, nevertheless, virtually. And I saw that you were there because you were commenting. I saw your name pop up on the screen.
Yes, I had a few things to say because these are things that we have covered on the show before. So
absolutely. And that was by design because this our happy early fun time hour panel. I was talking about it with Michael just a couple weeks ago. And it was Michael's idea, actually. He said, well, you know, you guys on the Flopcast, you did the cartoons of 1980. That was our three-part look at all the cartoons of the year 1980. And Michael thought, well, you've already done the research. let's do that. And I thought, you know, yeah, fine with me. So that was kind of the launching point for our discussion, although we drifted from that quite a bit, which was fine. You know, the whole idea was let's all just get together and goof around. So this was Michael and I, of course, and Joe, of course. And then we also had Sean and Darren and John called in. So that was our group. And we were just kicking around a lot of goofy 80s cartoon talk for the most part.
I got my Thundar fix.
We talked some Thundar. Man, Thundar comes up a lot on the Classics track, as it should. Also, I thought this was the finale of my paneling with my stupid green screen. Because for this panel, as things came up and a lot of different cartoon subjects kept coming up, and so I just kept pulling up different images on my background.
Did you get a picture of the Shmoo up? I'm trying to remember.
I don't think the Shmoo made an appearance, but we definitely did mention the Shmoo.
The Shmoo gets into everything.
We were talking about that insane Flintstones comedy show that had Fred and Barney as the bedrock cops working with the Shmoo. Fighting crime in bedrock.
Working with the Shmoo, like you do.
I did pull up a picture of the Frankenstones, which was also from that Flintstones comedy show. Because that was that Monsters family that they added that year with Charles Nelson Reilly as Frankenstone and his son Freaky, voiced by Paul Rubens. I did put up a picture of that, along with lots of other goofy stuff. We had Godzuki up there, Godzilla and Godzuki. Yes. And we had Fonz and the Happy Days gang, of course.
Yeah, some of the crowd was bagging on Cupcake. I was like, hey.
You know, that's our girl. We love Cupcake.
Yeah, I was like, settle down.
On the Flopcast, we are very pro-Cupcake.
We are 100% pro-Cupcake.
We like a girl with giant pigtails who scoops up Fonz and Richie and Ralph Mouth, shoves them in a flying saucer, and travels through time. How do you not love that? That's how we feel around here. We regret nothing. Well, Cornflake, that happy early fun time hour panel, for which I was completely exhausted. That was my final panel of Dragon Con 2020. I mean, overall, it was weird. It was really weird. But, you know, we did what we had to do.
And you made it happen.
I'm glad you could be there for the first time. This was your first Dragon Con.
That was really exciting. Thanks to everybody who made it possible for folks like me who normally wouldn't get to come to Dragon Con, you know, to be able to be involved in this.
Yeah, I got to say, overall, the convention did a fantastic job coming up with ways to do as much as we possibly could. So thanks to everybody that worked to make this happen. And I mean, I've only been yammering on and on about the stuff that I was doing, but we should say... lots of people from the ESO network were involved in all sorts of panels and presentations and stuff that were happening all over the place on other tracks that we haven't even mentioned. I know our friend Kate from Strange Animals. She did a couple of panels with the digital media track talking about podcasting, and I haven't even watched those yet. I'm hoping that those are available online somewhere.
Oh, I was having fun with her and the mayor and the audience on that Monday morning panel.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, Kate popped up Monday morning as well. Yep, I saw her there. Yes, and even the mayor, Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown, she did a couple of panels as well. For the Classics track, she did a panel about He-Man and She-Ra, I believe. And over on the non-Classics sci-fi fantasy media track, she did a panel about Westworld. So the mayor was busy as well. Look at us all, just virtually having our goofy nerd fest this year. All right, Cornflake, that was Dragon Con. I think this has gone on way longer than I thought it would.
That's okay.
But that's how these things tend to go. But let's put a stop to it all. Cornflake, please get us out of here.
Please come find us at flopcast.net or on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. We're even on Instagram at @the_flopcast. Hey, on Apple Podcasts, can you go give us a rating or even a review? We would be so grateful. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation is Cupcake's very favorite band.
I believe it.
Nobody can argue with us because she's a cartoon from 40 years ago.
It is undisputable.
Hey, Cornflake, thanks for being here on our post-Dragon Con show. And for everybody else, oh, I got a thing here. I have a nice way that we can wrap up the show. A little different than we normally do, but actually sort of the same as the way we've been wrapping up the shows through this horrifying pandemic era. Because my new friend Denise, who joined me on the Superheroes After Batman panel, you know, that super shadow fan, Denise, she posted a Dragon Con meme on her social media this week. So this is something that's been going around, but it's quite nice and absolutely in line with what we've been saying around here lately. It says, make every day more like Dragon Con. Have fun. Make new friends. Be nice to everyone around you. Do what makes you happy. Fly your geek flag. Compliment strangers. Help others. Good advice all the time, maybe even more so a lot of that stuff right now. Everybody, hang in there, be safe. We'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
The next evolutionary leap in the Thunderverse has arrived. The Ring of Thunder is a whole week's wrestling in a half hour.
What?
The Ring of Thunder is a whole week's wrestling in a half hour.
What?
Every show.
What?
What?
What? What?
You come up around here wetting in sexy Thor's yard like he's anything but the hammer swinging, burrito eating, mic blazing, marking out but never tapping out Lord of Thunder, like you would do anything but sit down, open your ears, and take in the Ring of Thunder wherever you find your podcasts, like you would find any other podcast in the Thunderverse or the ESO network.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show. Hello there.
Oh, I've been holding in a secret.
Oh, good. What you got?
Well, Sunday night when I was having my vodka punch, I came up with an idea. And
I'm sure it's a good one, then, considering the circumstances under which it was birthed.
I think once you hear the idea, you will agree. I realized that though I had seen many of the episodes, I had not seen the episodes from the first season of The Facts of Life. So Sunday night of Dragon Con, I had my vodka punch and I started a watch-a-thon of Facts of Life. So
wow.
I'm three episodes in. I got to see Molly Ringwald tell us she's a woman. And
so is this your first time going back to Facts of Life season one?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is exciting.
I got going on this and I thought, this might be cool for the Flopcast. And I know that there were many episodes of The Facts of Life made, but I wonder if you and I could do a watch-a-thon of The Facts of Life at some point.
Is there some way you could virtually twist my arm right now, Cornflake?
Awesome.
You know, for the last 8 years of Flopcasting, I've just been waiting for you to get on board to just start watching Facts of Life episodes so we could just discuss them all. And if only I'd known, the missing ingredient all this time was vodka punch.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network. Your station for all things geek.